here to discuss all things NRL and anything sports related. Please give a warm Aussie g'day to the footy fanatic and America's own Corey Jackson in Outside the Sheds.
Greetings, salutations, and welcome to a very, very important episode of Outside the Sheds. Yes, Shedheads, we've made it. Episode 100 being recorded right now. You're listening to it live and in living color, as they would say. Yes, Shedheads, this is kind of a big moment because I never knew that this podcast would turn into 100 episodes of me ranting and raving about all things NRL, AFL at one time, a lot of other sports, whatever. It's just become a part of my life a little bit, even though we did take a season off as we tried to get ourselves back on track, if you know what I mean. But I really enjoy it. I really enjoy the backside of the game. Let's be careful how I said that. I like the inside of the game. I like the you know, we all love the brutality of the NRL and physical sports. But this has really made me, Outside the Sheds has really made me concentrate on coaching, philosophies, a lot of things that you don't really pay attention to if you just watch an hour and a half match, right? And it's been so, so exciting for me to be able to kind of delve into that. And like I said, being able to have experiences like going to the 2013 Grand Final and to the Auckland Nines and, you know, meeting some of the guys a couple weeks ago in Vegas for the, you know, with the Matty John show, and then being at Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. Heck, Shedheads, think about this. I was not at a Super Bowl at Allegiant Stadium. I wasn't at a Raiders game at Allegiant Stadium. I've never been to Allegiant Stadium. But because of this podcast, my love for rugby league and the NRL, I was there the first time in an American stadium that I'd never been to for an Australian sport, the NRL. So it has done a lot for me. Mrs. Shed Adams is quite proud of me too for it. So that's really, really cool. And getting to see the podcast being watched in different places around the globe, it's cool. It's exciting. It's a buzz. So here's to 100 episodes of Outside the Sheds, and here's to maybe 100 more. You know, we'll see. This is what we do. This is what we do. But let's get into round two. Let's go to a recap of everything. It's the round started off Broncos 28, Rabbitohs 18. The Broncos shake off the hangover that is the Vegas Strip, aka the Allegiant Death Star match. To get a big victory over the Rabbitohs, sending the Bunnies to an 0-2 start, putting more pressure on Jason Demetrio. It really was a big match. Adam Reynolds was lost for this coming week, the rematch of the Grand Final. So a big, big match, but a big victory for the Broncos. Sharks 25, Bulldogs 6. You know what? The Sharkies are being a dangerous, dangerous team. And I mean by this is Nico Hines has rediscovered his form. I'm going to say the hunger that this guy is showing, the way that he holds the line, the way that he puts his tackles in, tackling guys twice as big as him sometimes, but just putting his body on the line. Right now he's leading the Dally M, and this is the second match in a row that he's got all 6 points for that. And then we go about the Dogs. The Dogs, again, everybody's saying that, you know, they're trending in the right direction, but they're still getting smoked off the park. So this is a big round coming up for them, and we'll be talking about that when we do our picks. Panthers 26, Eels 18. You know what? We all know about the Battle of the West, and the Panthers get the victory over their big-time rival. It kind of wakes up a little bit of it gets the spice going again for the boys from the Blue Mountains. They started to look like the club everyone expected them to be like. And I think we know this. This team doesn't really start flowing until about round 4, 5, and 6, where they start looking just elite, elite. They just win out of grit up to that point. So they're back on the win column. Raiders 32, Tigers 12. The Green Machine is rolling. And again, the thing about this team, and I think we go back to that round one with Newcastle, is Ricky feels an immense confidence with this club and this team. I think he likes the cohesion this team has, and it's showing on the park, it's showing on the field. The Tigers, besides coming back and scoring two tries in a row in the match, were never in the match. They really weren't. And it's come to fruition to the standpoint where I'm going to tell you something from the beginning. I know he was a little bit injured, and that hasn't been talked about, Aiden Caesar. But Sullivan is now out, and Caesar is back in the halves. So that has been a big move, and I think that's going to help the Tigers going forward. Cowboys 21, Knights 20. The Cows rally to beat the Knights. It was an incredible match. I think it showed that real depth that the Cows have right now. The golden boot in Golden Point by Chatty Townsend with a new slick hairstyle. A little bit less coif in the front. A little bit all over natural grass. But Chad is one of the players that I really, really like because he's not some super freak. He's just, he breaks the game down. I've liked the guy since he was back at the Sharks. And I think that with the halves pairings that they have there, I think, again, the Cows just have everything that they need, I think, to make a big, deep run this season. Storm 30, Warriors 26. What a match. The hoodoo continues, 15 in a row now for the Melbourne Storm. And you got to feel for the Warriors. The Waz thought they had that match. And with like 2 minutes and 36 seconds, it looked like they were home. And then Pappenhausen, the pirate, you know, with his one eye almost closed with his little headband because of the head knock, he scores. And then the try that's being talked about around the world, which we're going to go into when we do the deep dive into this. That look on the Warriors' face when they were in the huddle and Sean Johnson was talking to the guys, it was really heartbreaking because I think they thought the hoodoo was finally over, but it was not. Storm advanced 2-0. Bellyache continues to impress. Seagulls 21, Roosters 14. The two teams that got the victories in Vegas come head-to-head. Fortress Brookvale stays a fortress for Manly. They get the victory. It does come at a cost for the Roosters. They lose Luke Carey to a head knock. And when you say head knock and Luke Carey in the same sentence, that makes you worried. He's had problems with concussions, and it was such a fluke knee to the back of the head. It was just, it's really, really sad. So hopefully he's out for 11 days now for this. So hopefully he can recover. We're going to talk about this because the match coming up is going to be big here. Dolphins 38, Dragons 0. The Hammer gets the hat trick. Wayne Bennett, you know, he just, Clint Eastwood, that's all you need to say. Clint Eastwood. It is fascinating what this man in his 70s can do. He's going to go down as one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game. He's that guy. And I don't think any of us should ever forget that. He's special. And he makes me laugh because half the time he looks like he's about ready to fall asleep. But he knows the pulse. He knows the heartbeat of his team. And he knows when to make moves. He knows when to pat guys on the back. He's just a special person and he's a special coach. So, Dolphins, fins up. Fins up. Now, when we go into the deep dive, we're going to start back with what everybody in the rugby league world is talking about. And that's the Xavier Coates flying try to put the stake into the Warriors' heart to win the match. And I think that's one of the reasons that is what is being talked about so much. Yes, it was a high-flying move, but that's the thing we've been talking about for the last five seasons about these wingers and these centers, that the ups these guys have, let alone they're freaks. Most of them are 6'4" and above. So their wingspan's already gigantic, so you get them flying through the air like that, they can touch any point of the field, right? So when Xavier Coates does that and breaks the Warriors' heart, I can't say that I was sitting there shocked. Now, I think what made it so incredible was how he did it and the time on the clock when he did it, because it pretty much won the match besides Nick Meaney's kick. And it was just like, wow, okay? But I'm going to say right now, Shedheads, it is not the greatest try I've ever seen. The greatest try I've ever seen was David Nofaluma with the West Tigers playing Manly off a Benji kick. He levitated in the air, hung in the air, grabbed the ball, and then somehow dove back down towards the ground and towards the pitch and got the ball down with downward pressure, getting the try. It was such a big moment that it was a top play on SportsCenter here in America way before the NRL thought about taking over Vegas. To me, that will still be the greatest try I've ever seen. It was such a great try. Before your Shed Adamus was your Shed Adamus, I sent a message, or I sent something on Twitter, I think, at the NRL, and they actually liked my thing because, you know, an American was talking about it. But that to me is maybe the greatest thing I've ever seen in the game when it comes try-wise. But that being said, you still can't take away how great of a try it was. Xavier Coates is a freak. He's been a freak since he was with the Broncos. And again, he's just taking his game to the next level, working under bellyache. So, Rugby League World, there's my input on the greatest try in the game. Now, I talked a little bit earlier about old Clint Eastwood, Wayne Bennett, and I'm going to have to be the first to admit it. I picked against the Finns. I picked against the Dolphins. I thought for sure they were going to lose. I thought the Dragons. I got caught up with it, Shedheads. I got caught up with the Mo. As you know, the Mo. The momentum that was taking over the room. The Red V's back. And all of that. And you heard me talking last week. I talked him up. But I totally forgot getting caught up in that. You don't bet against Wayne Bennett. You don't do it. A side that he coaches, when the chips are down, they rally like a Timberwolf / Wolverine / Dingo. If you put his back up against the wall, he's going to come out fighting. And I said that a couple minutes ago. I said Wayne Bennett knows when to push the buttons. He knows when to make the call. And he did it again this week. And I could not believe the passion that the Dolphins came out with. I can't believe, the freak himself, another freak in the game, the hammer himself, that guy, Fido, that's all you can say. He is something special. I've watched him since he was back with the Cowboys. I really thought that he had a place in North Queensland, but they had so many guys there. He wanted to play fullback, and definitely Wayne Bennett's not going to turn away a guy that can bring that to the table. And so that's why he was there. But it really was eye-opening for me to see, again, what this man can do with a club and how he can just get them to rally and to just lift their game and lift their level. I don't know if anybody, I know I didn't pick in the eight for the Dolphins to be in it. But again, when you look at what Wayne Bennett can make teams do, it makes you really wonder, can he not get them there? And then it comes back to the other important, the other important thing that everybody's talking about right now is right now Wayne Bennett, this is his last season coaching with the Dolphins. It's it. He's done. They've already got their coach in waiting. Wolf's already there. So, and last time I checked, Wayne Bennett wants to keep coaching. So, somebody is already probably contacting his agent, okay? And if you don't think that's the case, you're crazy. Somebody's already contacted his agent and is already kind of, tiptoeing around to see if Wayne would be interested. Right now, the Eels are playing well, but that would be a good fit, Parramatta. Let's not ever rule out the Bunnies. Demetrio's under a lot of pressure. And I don't think Wayne wanted to ever leave South Sydney, but he did, and he got another job. But, you can't rule out him going back to South Sydney, too. So it's going to be interesting because I think for sure Wayne Bennett's got a lot left, and I guess, and I would bet that he's going to be coaching a club next year. Now, as we go into the 40-20, it is multicultural round. And I'm going to say it is one of the coolest rounds to me that the NRL does. And it really has a lot of meaning for me because I think we forget how important everybody coming into the equation. It's like an ingredient, You can't make a good miga if you don't have just the right amount of onion and jalapeno, right? If you left that out, it's not really a miga, right? It's just cheese and a little bit of egg. If you don't know what migas are, look them up. Shedheads, they're one of my favorite things to eat, right? I gauge a person if I go to eat at a restaurant by their migas, all right? It's important to me. But anyway, it's the important ingredients that we live up. over here in the divided states, they would never have a multicultural round. And that's the difference between the places. It's almost like we don't want to talk about our differences. Let's kind of keep that between us. And let's be quiet about that. Don't forget, we almost had another civil war in this country because Colin Kaepernick took a knee to try to draw attention to police brutality. And this world and our country over here lost their mind. So if they're going to react that way with that instead of having discussion and talking about it, and let's talk why that happened, and that's because of horrible leadership. But that's the only reason that went down that way. But it's sad when some places just aren't ready to talk about it. You know, in Australia, the Adam Goode celebration he did in the AFL when he was with the Swans that kind of had a little bit of upheaval, that if he would have done that, that was almost like the Colin Kaepernick knee, right, over here. But Adam Goode went on to win medals and awards later on for taking a stand for the indigenous. Colin Kaepernick can't get a job back in the NFL because of what he did. So the two countries are in two totally different places, and they don't want to admit it, or at least one of them doesn't want to admit where they're at. So that's why I think standing from abroad, it's so cool to see the multicultural around. And I hope the NRL, and it's not going backwards, the NRL has proved time and time again that they are all about forward thinking and pushing forward. Look how they're pushing the NRLW and how teams keep coming on. And, you know, there's big talk that there's going to be an NRLW match in Vegas next year, which I hope there is. And I hope it's the Roosters because there's a lot of great girls in that team I'd love to watch play live. So anyway, so proud of you, NRL. Multicultural round, I love it. I love indigenous round. They're just the jerseys, the pageantry about them, the country. It's just really, really cool. So a great round to be a part of. Really excited about that. Now, multicultural round also has two blockbuster matches that I think we're all beyond excited to watch. First up, we have the match that kicks off the round. We have the grand final rematch between the Panthers and the Broncos. It's at the foot of the Blue Mountains, Shedhead, so I'm going to say I'm already leaning towards the Penrith Panthers because they're playing in their backyard. But there's some key things about this, and one of them is revenge. You know that the Brisbane Broncos want revenge for a match that they thought they were so close to winning, right? And the Penrith Panthers want to double down and say, no, you know, we're the champs for a reason. So there's that backstory that goes on here. But there's some important outs for this game that are going to affect it a lot. Number one, the Broncos are going to be without Adam Reynolds. And now it's come down, they're officially going to be without Payne Haas. And we know how this team performs without Adam Reynolds, let alone Adam Reynolds and Payne Haas. So you have to say Brisbane is really behind the eight ball already going into this because of that situation. But it's on both sides because Penrith, James Fisher-Harris is out. And you know the brutality and violence that guy brings in his tackling and how he hits up the middle. So both clubs are going to be a little shorthanded. But to me, the outs for Brisbane are way, 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 way bigger than the outs for Penrith. But it is an incredible match to kick off the round. Really excited about it. You know, it's in a matter of hours. So great, great start to it. Now, let's talk about the one to me that really gets the blood boiling. Let's talk about the one that's going to be played that really gets butts in seats, butts in front of televisions, packed stadiums. And that is the battle for Sydney. The Roosters versus the Rabbitohs. You know, we all remember, I was actually in the air when the match happened, when everybody was getting sin-binned for the match. I guess it was the last match before the finals between the two. But that type of craziness is what this match is. It is, to me, the rivalry of rivalries in the sport. It's the longest rivalry in the sport between the two, with bad blood. And I will tell you, I get up for it all the time because this match has that feeling that we're one crazy play away from total anarchy breaking out on the field. That, you know, the chairs being thrown out windows, field being set on fire, craziness, right? And I think that is one of the reasons I love it so much is because you do have that. You do have that just we don't know what's going to happen. And we just, there's always that undercurrent flowing through this match of, uh-oh, that was a high contact. Did somebody come and peel somebody off the pile? So both teams are going to be having a little bit of mix-up in the halves, meaning we're going to have different halves combinations that have not been the same combinations for the first two rounds. I told you earlier, Luke Keary is out. Really, really sad. I know how much he gets up to play his old team in South Sydney. But Sandon Smith is slotting in to take his place. And you have to think that he's going to be out two weeks. You know, 11 days sitting out. I find it hard to believe that Trent Robinson's going to run him back out there right away. So I would almost think that this is going to be a two-week, time on the bench for Luke Keary to make sure that he's all right. And I think that's all we care about, is that Luke Keary is all right. I know how much he loves the game. He signed a contract extension with the Chooks. But your health and your long-term health is the most important thing. So that's going to be different with Sandon Smith and the halves. On the other side, the Bunnies have a little bit of a different scenario. And that is Lachlan Ilias. You got to feel for Lachlan Ilias. We've talked about Lockie before. The worst thing you ever want to do is follow after a club legend. Adam Reynolds is going to go down as a club legend for South Sydney. He has that moxie. He's a kid from around there. He plays twice as big as his real size is. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He loved his jumper. How many times have we seen Adam Reynolds kiss that bunny on his chest, right? And that's what Lachlan Ilias had to follow after. That is the guy that some people hated from the beginning, kind of like Aaron Rodgers was hated when he took Brett Favre's place, right? He was disliked because he was taking over the place, and a lot of people didn't want him there, right? They wanted Adam Reynolds. But after the 0-2 start, Jason Demetriou is looking for a fall guy to an extent, and that's what this feels like. This feels like a fall guy situation. The Jason Demetriou is got to find a guy. He's got to mix it up, so he's going to go after the guy that a lot of people might not be 100% upset that he's gone in Lachlan Ilias. And again, it diverts the attention a little bit away from him. But he's going to start Dean Hawkins in, and that's who's going to partner with Cody Walker. Now, this kid has had a really good junior's career. I'm saying he led the team, you know, in a lot of games last year. So he's been put on the map because of how he's played. So everyone knows about him. I think he's played two matches so far in the NRL level. But he hasn't played a match against the Chooks on a Friday night. So, again, this is going to be a big, big time to step up. And here's the problem for Jason Demetriou. If this doesn't go the way that he needs it to go, and South Sydney doesn't rally to kind of protect Dean Hawkins and to step, you know, the entire team to step their game up, the crosshairs is going to be on Jason Demetriou's back. So we hope that he did what's right. I guess, you know, I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm just kind of sitting here watching it. But if you're a Bunnies fan or if you're a Demetriou fan, you better hope that this works because the next head that could roll could be his. Now, one positive for the Bunnies is that Jack Whiten is back this week after serving his suspension, and he's going to play in the center's position. So South Sydney does have that one, little bit now that they can kind of rise to feel better about the situation and to, you know, maybe just rally around and to get behind Dean Hawkins is Jack Whiten. Because you know Jack Whiten's going to come out a million miles an hour. So that's going to be very, very interesting. But I can't tell you how excited I am for this match. It's one of those matches that you just can't take your eyes off the television. I have been fortunate because, you know, the voice, my man David, who introduces me week in and week out and takes us out, he actually brought me into one of the matches to see one of these battles between the Roosters and the Chooks. And well, I'll go into detail about my experience with that because I came in. David's with, you know, I don't think he'll get mad at me, but he's South Sydney through and through, and he's worked for the club. And so we got to go in to the members area. And yeah, it was a funny situation because I was wearing I think a t-shirt, and they wouldn't let me come in because I had to either be wearing a polo or a jersey. And so it goes from there, but it was pretty funny because I fit myself into a medium, because I wouldn't wear certain things. So anyway, great match, really, really excited for it. And the great part about this type of head-to-head rivalry is it won't disappoint. And we're going to have plenty to talk about next week because how this game turns out and the things that are going to happen during the middle of it. Now, Shedheads, I really can't believe what I saw and what has come down from judiciary. And that is Jerome Hughes is going to miss this round after entering a guilty plea for contrary conduct for pushing referee Chris Butler out of the way so he can make a tackle. That's right. You've heard it right. An NRL player who's not a gigantic NRL player. It's not like Payne Haas tossed this man out of the way. No. Not Payne Haas. But Jerome Hughes in his headgear trying to make a tackle and Chris Butler takes a tumble. Now, the problem is Jerome Hughes had to plead guilty to take a one-game suspension because if he tried to fight it and stand up for himself and to say that I don't think I've done anything wrong, well, guess what's going to happen there? Jerome Hughes could be out 2 weeks. So instead of trying to stand up for something he believes in or stand up to, you know, I don't think I did anything wrong, he admitted that he was guilty so he could get off early. Or excuse me, only miss 1 week. I know you have to protect the officials. I know you can't, you know, get in their face, spit on them. You can't do like Blocka did, pat them on the head. But at the same time, they are part of the field of play. Here's the thing, Shedheads. If you don't believe me, you watch how many times NFL referees get trucked if they're in the way. An NFL player can throw them over if he's in the way because he's part of the field. And that's the difference. The NFL makes it, if it's during the game, during play, that the referee is a part of the field. And I can run him over. I can push him out of the way. It does not matter. But the NRL wants to protect their officials, and I don't have any problem with that. But if they're in the field of play, they should be able to be treated like they are the field of play. Now, you can't lay your hands on them if you're upset or push them if they're making a call. But if Chris Butler positions himself in the field of fire there, and he doesn't have the dexterity to get himself out, you can't take that against your players to try to make a tackle. Because then it's saying that, oh, I'm just going to stop right there. There's Chris Butler. He's not Mother Teresa, folks. He's an official. And he's a big boy, Chris Butler is. Even though, Chris, congratulations. I noticed that you've gotten back into a little bit better shape compared to last season. But still, his dexterity, if he can't slide left or right or see the plays coming to him, move out of the way, hey, that's, you know, like I said, field of play. But Jerome Hughes out this week because of this conduct. And I'm blown away by it. I can't tell you guys enough how much I can't believe that Jerome Hughes, because I thought for sure after, you know, Andrew Abdow and all these guys saw this, the matters and the voices that be that run the game see this, they're gonna say, oh no. But they're coming from it from this place that we can't have people putting hands on officials. But there was no malicious intent there. And without malicious intent, I don't know what you're protecting. So anyway, that's my, you know, you're listening to this podcast for my opinion. That's my opinion on this. I think the NRL has got it wrong. To me, an over-exaggeration to protect their officials. Now let's go into round three. We have been doing, I can't say we've been doing the best, but we're two rounds in. And I'm thinking my picks right now, Shedheads, are kind of like the Penrith Panthers firing out of the line right at the start of the season, okay? We're not getting screwed like, you know, like the Panthers getting screwed over in England against Wigan. But we are, how do I say, we're not flowing fully yet, you know? Thank you, Red V, for making me believe in you, because I was even at that point until the Red V dropped an Easter egg 2 weeks before Easter on Sunday. But I will tell you this right now, Shedheads. We do this for fun. Just think, if I really had money on this, I probably wouldn't be laughing the way that I am about the situation at hand. But we do this for fun because we know, unfortunately, gambling's taking over the world. And let's get our pound of flesh on this thing too. So starting it off, we all know, like I said, Thursday night, Broncos versus the Panthers, foot of the Blue Mountains. It's going to be a tough match. I just think that Penrith has too much, especially with Reynolds, even though Jock Madden is filling in for Adam Reynolds. And I know Jock Madden is a steadying force. He's a darn good halfback. And I think he's going to have a really good game against the Penrith. But I don't think he's Adam Reynolds by any means. And I think Penrith, Nathan Cleary, Jerome Luai, I think that big forward pack is going to impose their will after a while, and Penrith gets the victory. Friday, we started off in a match to me that's always exciting because both of these teams really raise their game when they play one another. But Sticky's boys, the Raiders, versus the Waz, the Warriors. And the cool thing about this match, Shedheads, it's not in Auckland, it's not in Wellington, it's not in Canberra, it's in Christchurch. So we're going to bring the South Island into this bad boy. And we know how much Christchurch is a rugby union place. They got the Crusaders down there. But I would love to see a full-packed stadium, because this is going to tell me a lot of how rugby league's love in that country of New Zealand has changed if we can get a really close-to-packed stadium down in Christchurch. And I think they're going to. I think it's going to be a good turnout. That the code's going to look very, very good on national television and on television with the turnout that's in Christchurch. But let's talk about the game. Ricky has a chance to go up 3-0 right now. The Raiders are on top of the table. And the total opposite, the Waz, are 0-2. A team that a lot of people have picked to be in the top four, yourself included. And I do. I think that that momentum, I think that energy in that stadium in Christchurch is going to put the Warriors on top. And I think the Waz hand the Raiders their first loss of the season. And then following it up, what better main course, not the appetizer, but the gigantic filet mignon, Rabbit Toes versus the Roosters. And I'm going to say this again. I think that the Chooks, I think that hangover, the loss at Fortress Brookvale, they don't play well at Brookie, the Roosters don't. So I do think that they are going to get the victory over South Sydney. I think South Sydney is going to play a really good match because I think they understand the pressure they're under and their coach is under. But I still think the Chooks come out on top in a very close and brutal affair. Saturday, we've got the Titans versus the Bulldogs. I'm going to say this right now. I know a lot of people think the Dogs are trending upwards. I don't know if I have that same feeling. But if the Titans don't get a victory this week and they go to 0, you know, and Desi stays in the 0-for column and wins, I don't think anybody is going to doubt Desi. But I think it also shows that if they don't win this week, I think A.J. Brimson goes back to fullback until Campbell comes back. And I wouldn't be surprised if they are not winning in this match that you might not see A.J. Brimson move back to fullback. Desi just pulls all stops because they have to get this victory. The Titans have to have this victory. And because of that, even though people will say the Dogs are hungry too, I'm going with the Titans over the Bulldogs to get their first victory of the season. Cowboys versus the Dragons. You know, you've got some players that are going to be back for this match. We've got players that were with clubs that are on other clubs now that will be facing their old club. A lot of stuff behind the scenes. But I do think, and the Red V is probably going to make me pay for this, but after what I saw last week against the Finns, even though I love Shane Flanagan, I think he's a great coach, I just think there's too much strike with the Cowboys. And I do think the Cowboys are playing good enough football right now that they could win the whole thing. Now it's a long trip from North Queensland down to Sydney, but I do think that this team is going to be ready, and I've got them beating the Dragons. And then following off Saturday, finishing it up, we've got the Sharks versus the Tigers. I know I love the move of putting Caesar back in the halves for the Tigers, but what I've seen from Nyko Hines to start the season, I don't think, and that halves combination that he's got with Trindle in the halves is awesome to me. I think that, you know, Trindle's never going to be known as a guy that everyone's like, oh, he's one of the best in the game in the competition. But he just has that moxie and skill, and he just doesn't look the part. But he is a special, special player, and I think what makes him even more special is his combination with Nyko. And I think they both make each other better. So I'm definitely taking the Sharks. I think the Tigers are going to play a lot better, but I think the Sharks just have too much for the West Tigers. Sunday, Sea Eagles versus the Eels, a big rivalry match. You've got the high-flying Seals, Sea Eagles, the Seals, yes, the Seals, I said it. The high-flying Sea Eagles over the Eels. And you know what? I just think right now Manly is flowing, but I think the Eels know they need this match. I think they know they need it to make sure their season continues to trend the way they need it to. So I've got the Eels getting the victory over Manly. And then finally, I think a match that's going to be really good. The Storm versus the Knights. The Storm 2-0. Bellyaches boys, but I think with Jerome Hughes being out and a little bit of a switch up in the halves for the Knights, I really do think that Newcastle beats Melbourne Storm, gets on the scoreboard finally with their first victory of the season, and gets everybody in the hunter back up on their feet and feeling good about the season and where they're trending and where they're going towards. So I've got the Panthers, the Warriors, the Roosters, the Titans, the Cowboys, the Sharks, the Eels, and the Knights. And then my gun of the round, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, shedheads. My gun of the round, Hamisa Tabuai Fadeau, the Hammer. Say that name 15 times fast and quick, and I want to see how many times you get it correct. But the Hammer, I love to call him the Cheetah. The Hammer won out because it's part of his name. Three tries, 204 running meters, one line break, four tackle breaks. And then there's not a category for this, but if you watch the match, the Hammer was the reason that the Red V doesn't score late, because of him taking out Terrell Sloan before he can put the ball down, keeps the perfect zero on the board, keeps the sheet perfect. But that, to me, the Hammer, easily my gun of the round for round two. Now, Shedheads, we haven't done a little outside the bubble yet. We're going to start firing that back up, because we've got some important things coming up. NHL playoffs is coming up. NBA playoffs are coming up. But there's a big thing that's happening over here in America right now, and that is March Madness, the college basketball culmination. I got to admit to you, I'm a little bit more into the Frozen Pond, so I'm a big Frozen Four guy. So it kind of goes around the same time, which is the NCAA hockey tournament. But that being said, it is a big, big time over in this country, because I don't pay attention to college basketball all year. And then I kind of pay attention to it for this. But I think the thing that I want to bring to mind about this and why I brought the NCAA tournament up in my outside the bubble, I guess my precursor to the outside the bubble starting back up again, is there is more buzz in this country for the women's March Madness tournament than there way is for the men's March Madness tournament. And that's because, like I've told you so much, and I've told you plenty of times before, Shedheads, you need stars to make people excited. And right now, I talk to buddies of mine, unless you're a college basketball homer, barely anybody knows who plays for their team anymore. Like, I know that there's a guy for Duke that got run over as Wake Forest stormed the court, right? But I don't know his name, right? I don't know this guy's name. I just know that he got run over, right? I know that there's a guy for Purdue that has won back-to-back Best Player of the Year award or whatever, right? But the problem for that guy is his team got bounced early in the tournament last year, right? Which called into question, well, how dangerous, how groundbreaking is this guy? So there's a lot really that goes into this tournament. But then when you look on the other side at the women's tournament, I can name you, and I've never been able to do this before, okay? And I'm not being sexist. I'm not being anything like that. I'm just saying I've never been able to just rifle off female basketball players, right? But Caitlin Clark for Iowa, Angel Reese from LSU. And then I don't even have to say a name. I just have to say the South Carolina Gamecocks, and everybody in the room goes, ooh, because they're the baddest team in college basketball, in the female game. But people, trust me, they're way more dominant than anybody else, than even in the men's game. And I know a lot of people that are UConn fans are going to say, you know, UConn is a number one seed and, you know, defending national champion, blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever. But the Gamecocks in the female game are easily the favorite to win the whole tournament again, right? So, really strange, but kind of cool, right? Never been the biggest basketball fan, but I think it's just kind of cool because the men's game, all men's sports and college athletics have gotten so greedy now. It's all about the money. Unfortunately, these athletes, these college athletes, aren't even considered college students anymore. They're pretty much semi-pro athletes. And that makes me kind of sad because there's something special about a kid fighting hard to go make millions of dollars instead of an 18-year-old already making millions of dollars because of him coming to a university getting endorsement deals. But either way, big moment over here in the divided states, the men's and women's NCAA basketball tournament. So if you're into that, I know you're excited. It starts tomorrow. I don't think I'll be watching much of it. I think I'll be paying attention to some things, but I'm still behind on my Devils hockey. I'll probably be watching that. So until next week, Shedheads, please take in a couple of those matches I told you about. But the cool thing is you're not going to miss anything. Hey, you're not going to miss anything when it comes to the game. You got to love cell phones, don't you? But until next week, Shedheads, this has been Outside the Sheds, the 100th episode. Until next week, stay safe, stay out of trouble. See ya!
And that was another fantastic episode of Outside the Sheds with Corey Jackson, talking all things NRL and all things sports. So please remember to smash the subscribe button and share this with your family and friends and show them what Australian sport is all about.